Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday Women's Bible Study. We're glad you came and joined us. I'm here at Grace Ranch in the presence of Ann and Karen.
Hi, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
And we have Megan in Vermont. Hello, Megan.
Hello.
So we're glad you all have joined us. We hope that if you weren't present either over the internet or physically to the convention that happened earlier this month, that you will avail yourself on the Fisherman Ministry website where they're all posted. So tonight we're continuing in the Walking in the Spirit, which is also posted on the Fisherman Ministry website. And we're in the gifts of the Spirit, and tonight we're going to take a look at the gift of prophecy. And so, Karen, if you went in and looked at the website, it gives a definition along with scriptures. So it starts out and says, this is the supernatural utterance in the native tongue. So where tongues, the gift of tongues or tongues, is a supernatural utterance in an unknown tongue, prophecy is in our own language. So for us, it's English. And it is that which, it is a miracle of divine utterance not conceived by human thought or reasoning. So it is not something that comes forth from the person, but rather from God and God alone through the Holy Spirit. And the prophet speaks the word of God. So these gifts are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and Karen's going to read for us 1 Corinthians 14:3 that start us off tonight.
Okay. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort.
So he that prophesieth speaketh unto men. And here's the reason why. To edify, to exhort, and to comfort. And that is, if you want to look at these words, edification, we all should know what these things mean. It's when we edify one another in the truth, we build one another up in the body, in the faith. That's edification. It doesn't always feel good, because sometimes it is when we're not standing in a right place and somebody in the body comes along to build you up in a right manner, to reinstate that hope and the knowledge of that hope in you, by which we are to hold tight to and believe and allow to be the that which tempers our life. Is that how you would put it, Anne?
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
And then exhortation, one of the definitions, interestingly, is entreaty. And when the Word of God comes, be it prophetic from the Word itself, be it from the pulpit rightly divided, it entreats people into it and unto it to actually receive and believe it. And so another one of the definitions is imploration. It's like to implore a person to partake.
Yes.
I'm looking around to see if I, if any of my sisters here have anything to add. And then comfort is just that. If we hear and believe, we have a mighty hope that transcends everything else and is comforting. Through all the things that we struggle through, endure, go through, when our eyes are set upon the Lord and His truth, which He has expressed to us, and that, and the knowledge of that, and the hope of that, and the faith in that, we're comforted.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
And so, you know, a prophet speaks the word of God to our benefit if we'll receive it.
And it will always lead you to the true God.
Yes.
It won't lead you away.
Yes. And that's how you know a prophet of God, a true prophet, versus a false prophet.
Why don't we go into the three types of prophets that are shown in the scripture? And the first one would be in Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5.
You want to read it, Anne?
If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, wherefore he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, which has thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of these. So if you have a prophet that comes to you, and it probably sounds really good what he's saying, but if he is turning you away from the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to turn you to another God or another belief system, then you have nothing to do with him. And do not believe.
And one of the things by which one discerns, too, is by knowing the word and what God said. Because you notice in that scripture where he talks about, because he had spoken to you to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So if you know what the Lord thy God has said, or commanded thee to walk in, then when the lie comes, even through a person who has signs and wonders, you recognize it. We're dropping things. We signed out of the chat accidentally.
Yeah, it's going out by itself. We're not staying okay. For some reason.
You know, it reminds me of when Elijah went in with the prophets of Baal, and you had all of these priests of Baal and prophets of Baal, and you had Elijah, who was a prophet who stood and was manifest and manifested God. But you had Israel that was, it says, halt between the two, halt between Baal and God. And yet when Elijah stood, Israel turned.
Amen.
But before then, why didn't they discern Baal to be no God? You know what I mean? They had turned from the Lord and were halt then between the two opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have another scripture on that one, Anne?
Yeah, the next one is the false prophet. That's in Deuteronomy 18, 20 through 22.
We didn't. This is different. You did 13.
Okay, this is the presumptuous prophet. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak a name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing fall not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him.
So that's when a person stands up saying, thus saith the Lord, but that which they speak does not come to pass.
Right.
It's that simple.
And it's also a person that will come up to you and say that they're a prophet of the Lord.
Right.
Because if you're a true prophet of the Lord, you're not going to go around telling people you're a prophet of the Lord. And I knew a person back years ago, that a woman that said she was a prophet of the Lord and these things were going to happen. And of course they didn't happen, and some things did happen, but they were nothing of the Lord. It was just all her just speaking of herself and feeling important about it.
I know when I was at the law office a couple months ago, a woman came in who obviously considers herself a Christian, and she prophesied to me, so to speak, but the edification was to build me up, not to glorify the Lord. And that's one of those things you hear it, you know, when you, if you've ever been to other churches, and you'll have people stand up as prophets and they tell you how much the Lord loves you, how much he's pleased with you, how much. When you come to this church, you're chastened, you're quickened, you're corrected, you're called forward. You know what I mean? You're exhorted, that entreaty to grow and press towards that mark. Or to do, we're going to read in Acts where a prophecy was given and it provoked people, a response in people to do. It's when the man prophesied about the dearth that was going to come upon Jerusalem. And so you saw churches outside of Jerusalem, mainly Gentile churches, I think, send support, financial support,
right,
because of that dirt. So, but prophecy is to build us up in Him, to call us forth in the faith, to enlighten us as to things that go on, to give us a hope, to give us a knowledge of God, not a feel good, aren't you wonderful? Because the truth is, our whole wonderful is Jesus. It ain't us.
I've been in churches where a minister has stood up, said he was a prophet, and as he's giving his prophecy, he's telling everybody how great he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that definitely is not of the Lord. The prophecy should be leading people to Jesus, not to the minister who's giving the prophecy.
Yeah.
And so you knew right away that he was not a true prophet. And which brings me to the next scripture of this, which is what a true prophet is. And that is Deuteronomy 18:15-19. And yes, Sue, I'll try to speak louder so they can't hear me. I can speak any louder. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him we shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Then it shall come to pass that whatsoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require of him. Now this prophet, when he gives a prophecy, it comes to pass. He is a true prophet, and he leads people to Jesus Christ. You have your false prophet, whose prophecies come to pass, but he leads people away from the Lord. He leads people away from Jesus. Then you have the presumptuous prophet, who prophesies from his own heart. He just gets excited or something, and it doesn't come to pass. You don't have to fear him. So those are the three prophets that are out there. And you need to know the Word of God. You need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ so you can tell the difference.
Okay. One thing is that it's also a direct reference to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I will raise up a prophet. But when you look at the prophets in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the thing about prophecy, whoever it comes through, it is the Word of God, even like Jesus is the Word of God. They're not speaking, as was spoken earlier, of their own understanding or their own words, but speaking as they've been commanded to speak.
Amen.
So did you have any more on that subject?
No, I just thought we should cover that before we got into the rest of the scriptures talking about prophecy.
And you know, everybody here, I believe, knows to some extent when the word that is spoken unto them is true. Part of that comes from knowing the word. Part of it comes from warring the good warfare to adhere to, believe on the word. Part of it also comes from those who have been marked by God, who follow rightly the word, whose faith follow, those are ones that you can always go to for discernment if you lack it.
Yes.
So there is no reason to be led astray other than your own lusts and desires.
I'll say that sometimes I've heard prophecies that sound, or supposed prophecies, that sound really good. But they turn out to be false because it caters to the flesh.
And a prophecy that shows a true prophecy that shines a light on that statement, and it's the vision of two revivals.
Yes.
How you have those, that call, the word goes out and it calls and you see people unsettled and the mass of them go towards that fancy pantsy gold temple that looks so good, and a few go up the path towards the cave. And on the other side of that cave is the kingdom of God. The other side of that glorious temple is hell and death. That's the opposite of what you're saying, where it sounds real good, but it's a lie. Because that one sounds real good.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks real good, and it's easy.
Robin brought up the vision of two revivals. If you have not read it, it is on the Fisherman Ministry website. I would encourage everybody to read that.
Or read it again.
Or read it again.
Yeah, it's always good to read it again.
The next scripture then in this study is Acts 3:21. And I think this is a scripture that gives a really good definition of what we're talking about. So, Karen, if you're going to read.
All right. 3:21. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began.
There you go. That is the purpose of prophecy. They spoke that which was to come. The Old Testament spoke of Jesus, but also the end of all things. We know the end.
Amen.
Because it has been spoken by the prophets, if we will receive it.
Amen.
Also, prophecy isn't just the end. It can be something that's going to happen shortly. But it gives us a chance to do something about it, be it if it's something where we can do good, or if it's something where we can repent.
Right.
We got that chance.
Yeah.
So prophecy is there And when you look at, I think of like Jeremiah, where Israel understood and knew that he was a prophet. They knew God was with them, and they went to him and asked him, what should they do? And he went, in communication with the Lord, came back, told them what God told them to do. They came knowing that's exactly what he was going to give them, and they never did it. So it's important also to realize we can recognize true prophets. We can recognize these things, but it doesn't mean we're going to do that which is spoken.
That's true.
And we got to know that, because in that is that fear of the Lord that'll move us unto obedience. To say I know a prophet is pretty meaningless unless I hear the prophet and do in accordance with that exhortation, and all. And in hearing is that consolation. The next one is Acts 11:28.
And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Now, if you would continue reading down there, I'd appreciate it. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul.
So here you see an example of a prophecy of something that was imminent, was going to come, and it gave then the hearers who believed and heard the opportunity to make up that difference in that dearth to the brethren, those in the body of Christ. And so the next one then is
13:9-11.
Thank you. Anne's keeping us on course here.
That's Acts 13:9-11.
You can be, I guess. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. And, of course, if you've read on down past that, you'll see that the man who this particular fellow was seeking to turn from the truth, because of that prophecy and it coming to pass, that man was turned to the truth. Yeah. It was Sergius Paulus. Excuse me. So you can see where the fruit of hearing, that which the Lord gives us through prophecy, can be mighty to the saving of a soul. Megan, do you have anything you want to say?
No, not yet.
Okay.
You've said it all.
What's that?
You've said it all between you.
Well, jump in, my dear.
Yes, ma'am.
The next one is Acts 21:11.
And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, and bound his own hands and feet, and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.
Yeah. Now, I think everybody knows that Paul was called to be the apostle and was the apostle to the Gentiles. But he had a heart for his natural brethren, the Jews, and he was determined to go to Jerusalem. And three times, distinctly separate, they wouldn't have known the other had said it, times by the Holy Spirit, Paul was told not to go. And here we have an example where this man, and in verse 10 it says, a certain prophet named Agabus, and he came and said that. And verse 12 says, and when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. And if you don't know the end of that story, you ought to finish reading Acts. But Paul went, and exactly what this prophecy said occurred. But the thing that is noteworthy also in this is that Paul warred to stand by the sufficiency of the blood of the Lamb and the grace of Jesus Christ and kept on ministering. And when you read Acts and see what Paul did, you do not see him skip a beat. And yet his becoming imprisoned was the result of not having heard this. But yet, instead of getting hung up and feeling sorry for himself and beating himself up, he continued to serve the Lord. And another beautiful aspect of that is Luke and others even seeing Paul as a man. God never left Paul. Paul continued to walk in that calling. And those who would continue to adhere to Paul, that they might partake of that anointing that Paul partook of. And that's the walk of faith. That's the walk that understands the gospel of Jesus Christ and sticks close by those whom God is with. And here's when we fall, praise God that we have the mercy and grace of God to forgive if we'll but receive it. Amen. And then it's gone. Paul, God didn't hold it against Paul. Paul just ministered in bonds.
And a lot of his letters were written while he was in bonds.
Yes.
But he continued to serve God, notwithstanding his own shortcomings. And that's an example for us to mark and do likewise.
Second Peter 1:21.
Go ahead, Karen.
All right. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
There's another definition of prophecy. It's another reason why when we read the King James Bible, we can know with a surety that it is, in fact, the Word of God, because the entire thing was written as God moved holy men, as holy men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost. Prophecy is spoken, but it's also put into writing.
Amen.
And the last one in this is back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 23 through 32. And Megan, would you read this?
Sure. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? Excuse me. But if ye all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, Let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that ye may learn and all be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets.
And that word learn is to understand. And that's, you know, if we recognize, there's a couple things in this, which Megan just read. First of all, we know that the gifts are given to different people in the body. And we know that apostles have all the gifts, every one of them. But they're not physically in every body. So they, these gifts are given to those in the body who will use them as they're supposed to. And that use is, it's not like, oh, I'm so important. It's given to a person who understands that they're part of a body, that they are there to serve. And part of that service is in the exercise of their gift. And so if you're a prophet, you bring that utterance to the benefit of another so that they can grow in their understanding, so that they can be turned. We read how here if a person who doesn't know the Lord comes in, prophecy, see, God knows exactly what to bring. It's going to manifest that person's heart. They're going to have that opportunity, and they're going to see and know that God is with you. What does it say that God is? And report that God is in you of a truth. These are things you don't know yourself, but God knows. And he uses his body to bring it to another for their benefit. That's what all the gifts are for. They're for the benefit of the body, not for the benefit of the individual. But the individual partakes too. It's an exhortation to them also. It's a comfort to them also if they will hear. Anne?
Well, one thing, everyone wants to think they're a judge. They can judge it. And the scripture here is very clear. It says, let the prophets two or three, speak two or three, and let the other judge. The other prophets.
Right.
And then down in 32, it says, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. The prophets are the ones who are given of God to judge the prophecy. It's not for everybody to judge it. Only in that if it leads you away from the Lord, then you have a responsibility to judge that and stay true to the Word of God. That prophecies are to be judged by other prophets.
Amen. I'm glad you brought that point up. You know, one of the aspects of faith that Anne is touching upon, and when I say faith, I mean we confess that we believe on Jesus Christ. And I think I just lost it. But one of the aspects of faith is that we have, we submit to God's line of authority because we believe God who has set it up for our good. And in that is no place of judgment, because it's a place of faith in him. It's a place of acknowledgement of a need for him and for all the things that we need to become one with him. It's not something we can do in our own understanding or all by ourselves, because then we create God in our own image. But if we're going to serve God, we have to let him teach us him. And it comes through, one of the things, through his line of authority. One of the things is through coming to know his word, where we recognize that which isn't true. which is what Israel knew but didn't trust in. They didn't have that hope and in Christ. One of the things we see with Paul is his hope allowed him to press on, notwithstanding what he did. This is what the gospel is. You know what I'm saying?
And then right at the bottom line comes down to, if you don't know the word of God, then you are in danger of being pulled aside and away from him.
Yeah, by whatever means.
Whatever, through a prophecy, through just somebody come up and say, hey, you know, this is what I heard, you should do this. If you don't hear the word of God, then you're in danger of falling.
I'm going to read what Angie wrote in the chat. It says, I think another important point is how important it is to give the prophecy out, not fearing the people or their reaction, as did the prophets. She means the prophets didn't fear the people, because as you said, it could be to the saving of a soul, as so many have done in the word and were persecuted mightily for it. But you know, this is where, when you read in Hebrews 11, it says that they were strangers and the world wasn't worthy of them. We serve a different kingdom. We serve a different Lord. And we're in a kingdom that Satan rules, and yet he doesn't rule us. And we're here as ambassadors to call others that are in the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Through the blood of the Lamb. Excuse me. And then, in that place when we accept, we need that word of prophecy to continue on, to be quickened, to be chastened, to repent, to shine a light. So let us hear. But the Bible also says, you know, covet to be a prophet. That's an important ministry in the body of Christ, because it brings that necessary word straight from God without any human interference to the listener.
Well, sometimes that prophecy, if it's given to an individual, could be something that they are to do, or it could be something they're not to do. And you just have to be open to hearing the word of prophecy, compare it to the word of God. If you have a question, take it to your authorities. Don't ever be afraid to go to your authorities. That's what they're there for. But know that sometimes the prophecy is given to the congregation. It's given to the body. But sometimes it can be given to an individual. So pay attention. Listen. Open your heart and your mind to what God has for you. And if you doubt it or you question it, go to your authority. Check it out in the Word of God. Because if the prophecy is given for you, it will never contradict the Word of God. So don't be afraid to reach out if you have questions. Don't be afraid if you just don't know what to do, to go to your authorities. Go to the Word of God. But the main thing is, read the Word. Learn the Word. Just feed your spirit every day with the Word of God. And like I said, do not be afraid to go to your authorities. Sometimes we're wrong with our questions or what we think we should do. You have to be open to the answer. Don't be afraid to be told you're wrong. I'd rather be told I was wrong and get it right than stay wrong and go to hell.
That's right. We can get led astray very easily if we don't use our authorities in the Lord. It's very important.
You know, another thing I would say in that vein is, you know, there's a lot of things that we face that we don't have the strength for, that are beyond us. And sometimes, praise God, His mercy and His grace gives us time to through circumstances that make it worse because we didn't listen, but to turn and actually come into obedience to what he said. But I can tell you, if you will believe God and know that he can strengthen you and know that nothing he says unto you is beyond your ability, God will move mightily in and through you to bring to do everything that is needful if you are willing and will submit and believe him.
Yes. Gail had a question here on the chat. Wives go to their own husbands?
You can go to your own husband. There's nothing wrong with that. I think you may be confusing them a little with wives submit unto your own husbands. We're not talking about that kind of submission, but there are those whom you know will answer rightly to you. So go. If it's your husband, praise God. I don't mean to undermine him being one of those who is in authority to you. I know Megan goes to her husband all the time. I know she also goes to Davy. And she actually also goes to Ann. So it's not an apples to apples thing with where wives submit unto your own husband. But the one thing, these gifts of the Holy Spirit and this Walking in the Spirit seminar, this is how the body is to walk, and every person is given has a different function in the body. And one of the things we need to do is to perform that which God has called us to do right now. Yes, to covet to even become a person that he will be able to entrust more and more with is the right thing. It says to covet to be a prophet. That is a needful and important element in the body of Christ coming into that right faith and the unity of that faith. But wherever we are, we need to do that which we're called to do, and we need to appreciate our brothers and sisters, what they do in the body. I mean, it's all important.
So you don't necessarily have just one prophet in the body.
No.
You could have, you saw here, two or three. So people in the body, you can have two or three that have the gift of working with miracles or the gift of prophecy. You may just have one, but don't negate the fact that there could be more than one.
Oh, no. In fact, the very fact that it says the other prophets judge implies there would be. Mm-hmm. That's called safe.
Yes, definitely.
If we will submit, and the walk of faith is one that is humble, because our dependency isn't upon us, it's upon him. And part of him is just that. Prophets judge the prophets. You also notice where the prophets, if another one is given something, the one speaking shuts up.
Yeah, don't interrupt, it says.
Just take your turn.
Yeah, one by one.
One by one.
So, I mean, this is a position of service. That's what these gifts are for, to serve.
Amen. So, serving each other.
Next week, we're going to be looking at discerning of spirits. Now, this, again, is a gift of discernment of spirits. So, if you want to jump ahead, check it out on the Fisherman Ministry website. And thank you all for joining us. We be done.
I guess we are.
Thank you all.
Thank you for joining us tonight.
Good night.